Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here, former presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. Today is Monday, June the 5th, and today we're going to be talking about a topic that is near and dear to any liberty lover's heart, and that is the question of whether or not we should privatize our air traffic control system. Now, I've pulled some resources for you all because I know that you are all probably just drooling at the thought, salivating at the idea that we could potentially privatize the air traffic control system like they do in countries like Canada, like they do in countries like France. But wait, hold on there. Wait a minute. Before we get there, I just want to say that there are some pros and cons to this because, you know, my first reaction was, terrific, great, wow, this is exciting. I would love to see us privatize our air traffic control system because this is one of the big stories that came across my desk this morning. And I'm thinking, all right, great, this is good news. Donald Trump supports this. Looks like there is a proposed bill in Congress. So, hey, let's get behind it, right? As a libertarian or if you're a conservative, if it moves, privatize it. If it doesn't move, privatize it. Privatize everything, right? Including the air traffic control system, absolutely. But when I started doing some research this morning and I started to understand a little bit more about what it is that they're proposing, there are some problems that we do have to face and discuss. The Washington Post says that Donald Trump has laid out his vision for overhauling the nation's air traffic control. He will push for separation of the operations from the FAA, which is embracing an approach that has been championed by the airlines. It's also joined by airline industry executives. But when the president, Donald Trump, is expected to point to the changes as a way of accelerating a more modern air traffic control system. Quote, we're really moving into the modern decade of technology in air traffic control. It's a system where everyone benefits from this, White House economic advisor Gary Cohn said in a conference call with reporters. Trump's budget plan released earlier this year called for the changes, placing air traffic operations under a, quote, independent, non-governmental organization. There are about 50,000 airline and other aircraft flights a day in the United States. Both sides of the privatization debate say the system is one of the most complex and safest in the world. U.S. airlines have been campaigning for more than two decades to separate air traffic control operations from the FAA. That effort picked up steam last year when the union that represents air traffic controllers agreed to support a proposal by the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee Chairman Bill Shuster to spin off air traffic operations into a private, nonprofit corporation in exchange for guarantees that controllers would retain their benefits, salaries, and union representation. So the unions do appear to be supporting that legislation. That was last year's legislation. And another article that I had pulled up from the National Review was derogatory of that effort. And the National Review at the time, this would have been last year in February, talked about the background with Ronald Reagan, who crushed the Air Traffic Controllers Union at the time for calling for an illegal strike. And the National Review sees this very much, at least last year's version of this bill, as a way for big labor to recapture the air traffic control system. So there are some problems associated with this, assuming that last year's bill mirrors the new bill. And I haven't seen the new legislation this year just yet. But this is, again, being pushed by Mr. Bill Shuster. And it is a little bit curious that the unions are supporting this bill. Not to say that everything that unions do is dastardly. Certainly that isn't always true. But if a union is supporting this, then you have to kind of wonder, why would a union support privatization of air traffic control? So I pulled a story from Florida Tech, which is titled The Pros and Cons of Privatized Air Traffic Control. And I'd like to read this for you today, and then we can have a little discussion. Flying from point A to point B, thank an air traffic controller for making that possible. Air traffic controllers help pilots navigate through increasingly crowded skies, providing much-needed coordination while reducing the risk of accidents. While there's little question that air traffic controllers are important, there is currently much debate about who should employ them. Currently, air traffic controllers work for the Federal Aviation Administration, a government agency. However, there is a push for air traffic control to be privatized that is run by an independent organization that reports to the FAA. The bill, which is H.R. 4441, has been moved out of committee but has seen no action in the House. It calls for creation of the ATC Corporation, a federally chartered, not-for-profit corporation. And that's when we start getting a little nervous, right? So the government will create a corporation. The government will create a federally chartered nonprofit corporation. Sounds a little bit like how we started our own quote-unquote private Federal Reserve, but I digress. The bill calls to privatize operational or to transfer operational control of the FAA air traffic services to this corporation by October 1st, 2019. Now, again, this is a pros and cons article, so we'll start with the pros. Most of the airlines are for it. Airlines for America, the primary lobbying group for airlines, has been pushing for privatization for many years. American Airlines CEO Doug Parker says we need to get ATC reform done at a recent industry gathering. At the same event, Southwest CEO Gary Kelly said privatizing air traffic control is the industry's top issue. And we do note that Delta is the only major airline standing against privatization, which is a big issue because Delta is the largest airline company in the United States. The union is for it. This is what is supposed to be a pro for it, but I'll let you decide whether or not it is. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association, which represents more than 19,000 air traffic control professionals, supports privatization as long as the plan maintains existing work protections, pay levels, retirement benefits, and healthcare benefits. Another pro is that it does work in other countries. Privatization has already proven effective in other countries, including Canada, the United Kingdom, Germany, Australia, and New Zealand. In fact, proponents, including the airlines and A4A, would like to adopt a system that's nearly identical to Canada's. There, a privately run, not-for-profit organization called NAV Canada operates the country's entire traffic control network. It is fully accountable to Transport Canada, a government agency. Now, it's not necessarily canard to look at what other countries are doing. If they have good practices, then to potentially adopt them. But of course, that isn't always a good idea. There's a reason why I think America is the greatest nation on earth, and that's because we always tend to do things a little bit differently. And I did have to laugh. I made the joke last week because Donald Trump announced he would withdraw the United States from the Paris Climate Accords. And when he did so, all of the liberals were screaming that, oh my God, even North Korea has agreed to the Paris Climate Accords. Well, I fail to understand why if North Korea is in agreement or in support of a treaty, why that is supposed to be an argument in favor of it. I mean, North Korea people, really? 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 Anyways, so the argument can be flipped either way on its head. So I'm not necessarily saying that, oh, well, just because Canada does it, that means that it's good. No, but I mean, privatization is good whether or not anybody does it. And of course, you will never see privatization of anything in North Korea. Moving on. It might speed up adoption and implementation of NextGen. Already underway but progressing slowly, NextGen is the FAA's initiative to modernize the entire national aerospace control infrastructure. The biggest change with NextGen is a shift from radar to GPS. Supporters of privatization complain that the transition has taken too long and has been too expensive, and that a private contractor could do the work quicker and more efficiently. Now, the Florida Tech article goes on to talk about the case against privatization, and these are what they see as some of the cons. They say that flyers may have to pay more. Delta Airlines, which has repeatedly stated its opposition to privatization, conducted a study in 2015 that says privatization will increase user fees by 20% to 29%. The study looked at Canada and the United Kingdom, which are both cited as positive examples of privatization, and found that user fees increased there. Well, I mean, if privatization, if this was to happen and it was true privatization, not just a giveaway to unions or some government monster corporation that they create, quote unquote, in a nonprofit fashion, there is a chance that the fees would increase. But why is that? Well, very likely the reason, I'm not saying this is the reason, but it's very likely that the reason that fees would increase is because, well, taxpayers aren't subsidizing air travel for rich people. I mean, very few people as a percentage of the general population actually fly. So the question is, if that's true, then why are the majority of taxpayers having to subsidize air traffic for the ostensibly wealthy people who fly. Now, you may say, well, I'm not wealthy and I fly all the time. Yes, if you fly all the time, you are wealthy. You know, most people don't fly. It's very expensive to fly in comparison to the average income of what people can actually afford. Flights are a luxury. So it's very likely that if we quote unquote privatize air traffic control, that we could see an increase in user fees. But isn't that really how it's supposed to work? Aren't the people who fly, aren't the people who use this service, shouldn't they be expected to pay the cost? Now, do I want to pay 20% higher fees for my flights? No, I don't want to do that, but that's on me. If I'm making the choice to travel, then that responsibility should be laid at my feet. And yes, if we can see more privatization, I'm willing to pay more, because I don't think that you, the taxpayer, if you don't fly, that you should be forced to pay to subsidize my flight habits, right? My wanderlust, my travel bug. And think about this, like another example of this might be the gas tax, right? People pay the gas tax, and ostensibly that's to pay for the roads. But what if you're a 14-year-old kid and you don't drive yet because, you know, you're not 16, you don't have a driver's license. Now, when you buy gasoline for your lawnmower business, you're paying a gas tax so that other people can drive on the roads. But you don't drive on the roads. You're just mowing your neighbor's lawn, but yet you're paying for a tax for a service that you're not using in some sense. So if user fees increase because we are, again, quote unquote, privatizing our air traffic control system, that's a way to make the people who are actually using a service pay more. It's sort of like toll roads in a sense, right? If you use a toll road, you're paying for a service that you're using. And I mean, any libertarian or conservative or anyone who believes in free markets would have to say that that is an acceptable cost that is a requirement for privatization. Now, that isn't to say that it necessarily will increase. Delta says it will, but we aren't for sure of that. And you can never know. Sometimes privatization leads to better outcomes. Sometimes it leads to more competition. The problem, of course, is that it's not like you're going to see any competition in air traffic control. And the reason why is because we're setting up a federally chartered corporation to do it. So, of course, that corporation will have a monopoly, just like the Federal Reserve has a monopoly on the creation of our money supply. But again, I digress. Another con: private jet owners and operators are not on board. Oh man, the richest people in the country are against it. Oh, they're not on board. Oh. The National Business Aviation Association says that airlines will have an oversized influence on any new privatized organization, which may limit private jets' access to airspace and airports. Oh man, you mean Leonardo DiCaprio is not going to be able to make it to Cannes on time? Damn, you know, gosh, that sounds just horrible. How could we ever consider hindering the wealthy megalomaniacs who run this country? And why should we ever consider inconveniencing them as they fly in their expensive jets that burn fossil fuels at an alarming rate while they go to a global warming conference? Another con: the U.S. system might be too big and too complex. Oh, it's too complex. It's too big. People are too stupid. We can't allow them to have too much freedom. In 2014, there were 9.6 million airline departures in the United States. That's three times as many as the second biggest aviation market, China, according to Bloomberg. Canada's system, widely cited as an example, only handles 1.3 million departures a year. Yeah, you step up your game, Canada. This raises the question of whether the U.S. system is too big to effectively be transferred to private control, which is open to debate. Yeah, we'll have a debate about that one. Sorry, Florida Tech. It might be disruptive. Oh. Critics say passing control from the FAA to a private organization could stall progress on the next-gen infrastructure. Well, you know, capitalism does tend to be disruptive. I'm leery that this quote-unquote privatization is really capitalism, or that it is really the type of privatization that most free marketeers would agree with. But the idea that it might be disruptive is kind of the point. I mean, that's really what capitalism is. It's disruptive. And, you know, I like to argue with my friends who are socialists who believe in redistribution of wealth, because they're like, oh, capitalism doesn't provide for equal to opportunity. The rich have too much. Well, you know, that's kind of the whole point, because capitalism is supposed to be disruptive to those who are in power. And I've always said that big corporations and the rich in the United States, They don't want capitalism. Do you know why? Because they could be out on their butts next week if the government were to allow real capitalism to flourish. Those people would lose their shirts. And that's why I always advocate for it, because I think capitalism isn't about keep giving the rich more power or keeping the rich in power or giving them more access to funds. It's not it at all. Capitalism is actually a big benefit to the poor and the middle class, because it allows people like you and me. I assume that the people who listen to this podcast are probably not people like Leonardo DiCaprio on their private jets. I'm assuming that the people who are listening to this are guys like me, you know, schlubs from the Midwest or from Texas. No offense. I call myself a schlub too, okay? Just so you know, I'm just an average American, and you know, I think that capitalism would be good for guys like me, because then I can go in and compete. I mean, look what I'm doing right now. This podcast that you're listening to right now, this is a capitalistic endeavor on my part. It's a way for me to make money doing what I love, free of big corporations. If I had to go and work and take my creative talents and my energy and go and work for some other corporation, yeah, I get a steady paycheck, but that's great. But I lose a significant portion of my creative energy to the executives in the business suits who are handling the advertising transactions, right? I was actually just talking to a friend of mine about this yesterday, how this is true freedom for me. And it's, but what I'm doing right here, what you're listening to right now, is disruptive. I am disrupting the traditional media processes that have existed way before podcasts ever existed, when people were still doing radio at NBC and CBS, and that was the only way that you could get your news was from one of the mainstream media corporations. So what am I doing right now? I'm disrupting that by negotiating directly with advertisers. By the way, if you would like to advertise your products or services here in my podcast, feel free to get in touch with me, Austin Peterson. Send me a message on Facebook or at my Twitter account at AP4Liberty. That's a nice little plug right there, but that's disruptive. What I just did there by providing myself my own advertising is disrupting the entire process. So when somebody says that something is disruptive, you have to think twice. You know, check yourself before you wreck yourself, because what we're really trying to do is to disrupt the processes that the big corporations and the government have been controlling for decades and decades. So disruption is a necessary aspect of capitalism. We don't want things to stay the same. I mean, if you consider yourself a progressive, I mean, this capitalism is really the most progressive thing that there is, because, again, it allows schlubs like me to come in and to disrupt what the mainstream media is doing. I can negotiate with my advertisers directly. I don't have to have some big corporate, you know, executive on the second floor of Fox News in DC, in New York or DC, have to come in and negotiate with the advertisers, and then they take all the cash and go buy themselves another, you know, their 1,000th pinstripe suit from Brooks Brothers. You know, I can sit here literally in my M&M's underwear, boxer shorts, talking to you and disrupting the mainstream media process. This is true power to the people. So again, I wanted to make sure that you understood that when somebody says that it might be disruptive, that can actually be a very, very good thing. And finally, the last con that Florida Tech identifies for against the privatization of air traffic control is they say that the current system is proven. The U.S. Government Accountability Office says that current operations are considered to be the biggest, most complex, and safest air traffic control system in the world. So, you know, there are pros and cons to this approach. And certainly, and I'll link to the National Review article in not only the Podbean article about this, but also I'll drop it into the live stream when I drop this into the live stream, so that you can see, because there have been some problems with the proposed bill, at least the one that came out last year, and we're still all analyzing the current one that just came out. But Donald Trump, I think, has identified that more privatization is a good thing. And, you know, I've given Donald Trump a lot of hell on a lot of issues. Certainly there are things where we disagree, but this is definitely not one of them. And Donald Trump has done some great things, nominating Neil Gorsuch to the Supreme Court, cutting back on some Obama-era regulations. I think the president genuinely wants to sign an Obamacare repeal if Congress would get off their asses and give him an Obamacare repeal. Wouldn't you like to see that? I mean, yeah, I would like to see that. Makes me want to run for office and do it myself. but I digress. So what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? What are the pros and cons of privatizing air traffic control? I think that most people who listen to this show already know that more privatization tends to be a good thing. But of course, the way that the government is going about it is it's kind of creepy, right? It doesn't make me feel that like I trust the processes that they're going through, because they're setting up a dummy nonprofit corporation that's chartered by the federal government. The unions are for it. Most of the airlines are for it, which ought to make you suspicious, because when the people who have all the power, the big corporations and the big unions, are for quote-unquote privatization, that in itself ought to make you question. So check out the bill, the legislation, and do me a favor, share this podcast with your friends. If you're listening to us on Facebook Live right now, share this on your feed so that more people can hear about the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. You can find the Freedom Report podcast on podbean.com. Podbean.com is a great host for this podcast. And if you want to download these, listen to them on the go when you're in your car, go to podbean.com, download their app, and that way you'll get an update whenever this baby gets up. You can listen to it anytime you like, on your commute, drinking your coffee, on your way to work. Yes, commute in the rat race while I sit here with my t-shirt and a cup of coffee. Enjoy your commute, plebes. But if you guys want to get us on iTunes, you can. It's the Freedom Report. Just type in the Freedom Report on iTunes. We're listed there on podcasts. We're also now on TuneIn. We actually got on there last week, so if you guys have an Amazon Echo in your house, you can get the Freedom Report on your Amazon Echo. Also, lots of exciting things happening here in my home state of Missouri. If you would like to find out what's going on, you can join me at the Freedom Ninjas reunion. We're going to have a big party on a day that I think any liberty lover would appreciate, and that is going to be on America Day, 4th of July. So come on out to Kansas City, actually a little bit south of Kansas City. We're going to be at the family farm, Stonegate, in Peculiar. We're going to have a big reunion and an announcement on the 4th of July in Peculiar. You can actually find out more details about that event on facebook.com/producerPeterson. And if you don't know how to spell Peterson by now, you are not an AP fan, because it's all E's, P-E-T-E-R-S-E-N. So the police are coming right now. You can hear them on the show. They're coming to take you away because you spelled it with an O. There's no O's in Peterson. So facebook.com/producerPeterson. Click on the events tab. You'll see the Freedom Ninjas reunion. That's going to be the 4th of July, the most American of all holidays. Come out and join us. We're going to have some barbecue, some fireworks. We'll have a really nice tent. And there's going to be all kinds of cool people. Don't you want to be there? Don't you want to see them? Don't you want to meet some fellow Freedom Ninjas? I think you do. People are driving from all over the United States. People are flying in. People are going to be camping out in my dad's backyard. So this is going to be kind of crazy. We'd love to see you there. I'd love to shake your hand, meet you in person. The revolution continues, and the people who care about freedom and liberty in this country are going to come together on that day, and I'd love for you to be a part of us making a little bit of liberty history. So, will you join me? All right. Well, listen, ladies and gents, I hope you have a wonderful week. Don't forget to check back on us anytime. Download the Freedom Report podcast on any of your fine internetting tools, and have a wonderful week.